Welcome to Think Realty Podcast, our weekly opportunity to talk with professionals from the real estate industry. Each week, we'll feature an expert from one of the many areas of real estate investment and dive into personal stories of success and failure, as well as learn tips, tricks, and tools for our listeners to apply to their investment strategies. And here's your host this week, Tom Rabideaux.
Today, we're talking to Brandon Thompson of Investor Network. I, of course, did a little bit of research. We've actually tripped over each other a few times at shows. And again, I really want to welcome you to the show. Before we get started, let's do a little bit of a background. Can you kind of walk us through your experiences and what led you to work in the real estate investment industry?
Yeah. So basically, I got into real estate to learn how to flip properties. I actually started off as a real estate agent. Didn't really know how to get into it. I had a friend tell me back in the early 2000s that flipping houses was going to be a big thing. It's already going on. This was back when the boom was going, obviously, well before the recession. And at the end of the day, I decided I needed to get into something and get my feet wet. So my wife and I had actually bought a property to live in, and I saw how much the real estate agent made on the transaction and realized, my gosh, she barely worked, or little did I know what kind of work she put into us. I'm like, if she can do it, I can do it. So I got into real estate as a real estate agent to begin with, and within the first year or two of my business, I guess you can say, I decided I wanted to get into flipping houses, just as my friend had told me. And I started up a flip business, and within 2 years, 22 years old, I got into this business at 20. I'm 33 now. Got into this business at 20. Within 2 years, I'd actually flipped probably 30 houses, and I had accumulated 20 rental houses. And then from there, my business partner, Will, and I, we had met through a local church and realized that he and I could mesh very well together, and he's just an amazing guy, love him with all my heart, just a great business partner and friend. And we came to know each other through church, and because of that relationship that was budding, I started working with him as an agent. He was very skilled at remodeling houses, and I took him in as an agent-client relationship, and a little over time, we decided that our partnership, or we could actually derive into a partnership, and we meshed very well with our personalities, and we could do bigger and better business. But that's kind of a little background story on me and Will coming into business together.
So really, it came in from one was a remodeler and one was a flipper.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I was more of an agent by trade. I started getting into a little bit of this and that and decided I didn't know what I truly wanted to do. Literally, I had to make a decision a few years ago. Do I quit being an agent and becoming a full-time investor, or do I want to be an agent full-time? And I chose an investor, but Will had always gotten into being an investor slash remodeler, and he did it really well with excellence and knew how to actually, you know, make a house look nice. And his, where I wasn't as great in design, he came in and created that design and was really good and skilled in sales with people, and we benefited well off of each other. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, so you've really been in the business for about, you know, give or take 10 to 13 years.
Yeah, I've personally been in the business for 13 years, and I think Will has been in business for right around 11. I have to ask him about that, just somewhere mm-hmm. right around that.
Well, the reason I find that interesting is because if you think about cycles, so if you started in 2003, 2004, and I'll put it this way, the investing business changed radically, of course, in 2008, 2009. So, it, depending on your area, which I know we'll talk about, you know, where you specialize in and what parts of the country. You had the 2003, 2004, which, of course, was the bubble period, 2005, 2006, and so on. And then you had the big drop-off period during the 2008, 2009, and 2010. So, it's interesting when we talk to people who have gone through both of those. Can you explain the differences in 2004, 2005, 2006 in terms of your philosophy versus what you had to deal with in 2009, 2010, 2011?
So pre-recession, essentially, during recession and after recession, I guess, is what you're asking. And pre-recession, it's similar to what we're experiencing now in 2016, but there was a housing boom. There was a little bit more of a construction boom back then. Me as a real estate agent, I had gotten into the real estate agent business, and there was buyers left and right out there looking to buy, but it was all about open houses and new construction. And you take these buyers and show them these houses, and it was just easy. And it was before kickbacks were illegal and things like that. So these builders were giving away, you know, rooms to go, gift cards, packages, to different places, Walmart, Home Depot, or they give away a car if it was a more of a luxury style home. So this was, pre-recession, lenders were actually just lending freely, obviously, as you know, watching The Big Short and things like that. And, it was just easy to get somebody financed, subprime lending, no-doc type loans. And obviously, you know, we were just moving and shaking. And then actually when I started partnering up with Will, him and I used our personalities together, and I would actually find the real estate, and he would go in and renovate the properties. And then we would use our network and, I guess, pretty much wholesale the properties into another buyer's hands. And we'd set them up with our systems, getting them approved lending, and we'd make a quick buck, all while we're remodeling the property, buying and selling for them. And, that accumulated into us really meshing well together. And then getting into the recession area, we were trying to keep that going and did really well wholesaling left and right. And then the market, going to your question, the market was just tightening up. Whereas before it was really, really an aggressive market. New construction was going crazy. Armando Monologo of Flip This House was telling us on A&E that we need to go ahead and flip properties. And at the end of the day, that's where we decided we wanted to go full time. But then the market tightened back, and we had just started the investor network back in 2007 corporately, putting our two personalities together and our skill sets together. And then once we merged into the recession, that economic period, circa 2008 or whatnot, everything stopped. And we went from wholesaling houses probably 20-plus a year together to barely doing anything. And then agents were getting out of the business. Builders were going bankrupt. Literally everybody I knew that we had taken, by the hand and putting into the real estate investment business, they literally just couldn't get financing anymore. These banks were calling notes due, and it was just pretty much of a horror story altogether. And, Will and I went from six-figure incomes to probably $20,000 to $30,000 a year overnight. And I actually went bankrupt because I had so many properties, and Will, had to get out of the business altogether and started selling roofs. And from there, it's pretty much just a big background story I could share later, but at a different point. But we went through the American dream and really crafted our talents together, and at that point decided we need to recreate ourselves. But I'll get into that later as you're asking questions.
Yeah, it is. It's just interesting because different, you go through phases on this thing with the economy and everything else like that. So, all right, let's go into a real basic question. What is the investor network that you and Will Hardy put together?
The investor network is just as it says, or just as the name suggests. It's a network for real estate investors to come in, and we take their capital and put it to use so that they can make extraordinary returns. And we want to give them the best cap rates available. Markets are volatile, are doing very bad right now. So we take their money, we acquire property, we either fix and flip it, or we purchase property, fix it up, and then hold it for long term, all while we're giving them a great return. The investor is completely hands off. They don't have to do anything but sign their paperwork and wire the funds 24 hours prior to closing, and we handle the rest. We're essentially a private equity firm that specializes in real estate investments. So that's what the investor network is.
Okay. What's your primary market? And what I mean by markets, and we'll talk about the areas of the country that you primarily have your property, but I'm talking about the type of investor that you're looking for. And this gets into the same question of passive investor, active investor, semi-active investor. What type of investor are you generally looking for?
Well, our ideal investor is a passive investor, somebody that wants a great return that isn't going to micromanage us daily. We like investors that are wealthy individuals. we can take Joe Blow, who's got $50,000 in the bank, and we can take their funds, but if that's their life savings, they are micromanaging us daily, and they're really worried about the outcome, and we're giving them the same attention we would some of our multimillionaire clients or some of our other clients that have a strong 401k and is investing with us through SEP IRAs or whatnot. We give them all the same take. At the end of the day, we're looking to find somebody that wants to be hands-off, trust an expert, and allow us to do what we're designed to do, which is make them a strong ROI.
Right, right. So do you have like a threshold? Do you like somebody with, say, $400,000 to invest or $1 million to invest? Is there a threshold that you think about?
Well, right now our largest client is a group of doctors that's got about $3 million with us. And it's a few doctors putting their money together, and they're great for us. They're completely hands off. They allow us to do what we need to do for them, and we're making them great returns. But our minimum investment is plus or minus $100,000 for our flip program, and in our buy and hold program, which we do buy and holds in Atlanta and in Memphis, Tennessee. We can get into acquisition and the renovations for a complete $50,000 plus or minus a few thousand. So you're making a 9% return on your buy and holds, right around that $50,000. And then later on down the road, once we do sell it, the investor will get 50% of the net proceeds. But that's the kind of properties we're buying, and that's the capital allotments that we have for the flip program, $100,000, and for the buy and holds,
$50,000.
Okay. We'll pay more.
Oh, obviously, yeah. Figured that. So you mentioned two markets, Atlanta and Memphis. Are those the markets that you're primarily in?
It is. Atlanta is our strongest market as far as flip. It's an aggressive market. They're short returns. And, Memphis, Tennessee is an incredible market that we're tapping into. We've been out there for a couple of years, and we're growing it exponentially. And nowhere else in the States have we seen that we studied that you can get a three bedroom, two bath house for $35,000 to $40,000, put $10,000 to $15,000 in it, cash flow it out at $750 to $850 a month, and we're in turn able to pay our investor 9% for a cap rate for the year by an annual basis. So those two markets are great markets. There are both of the cities are in a top 10 cities of the United States to invest in real estate, and we're just so happy we're in two of the best markets in that top 10.
Okay. So we'll get to expansion plans a little bit later on, but before we take a break, why don't you, and I was looking at your website and everything else like that, explain to our listeners the partner program that you have.
Yes, I've shared a little bit already, but to answer your question, our partnership program is where a passive investor will put up the acquisition and the remodel price of a home. So let's just say we need $50,000 from someone. We take that money, we actually go ahead and buy the property. Let's just say we need $25,000 in rehab. We will rehab the property. Now we're in it for $75,000. They put up all that capital, and we remodel it, we resell it, and let's just say we put it on the market for $110,000 less commissions and concessions, we have a net $100,000. Well, once we sell it, the individual will receive their $75,000 loan back first, and then we will split $25,000. They get 50%, and we get 50% for our sweat equity, and everybody's happy. In the meantime, while we are remodeling and trying to sell the property, the investor actually gets a return that's direct deposited into their checking account every month on the first of the month, just like clockwork. And, given per program, our buy and hold program, we're paying them out 9%, and our flip program, we're paying out 5%. So that's pretty much it in a nutshell. The investor is completely protected by a security deed. If we don't do what we say we were going to do, they can foreclose, use that security deed to exercise their foreclosure rights. And they also have a promissory note that expresses that we will pay back their total loan amount plus interest throughout the duration. And then when we sell it, there is a profit participation clause in that promissory note that's expressed that says they get net 50% of the sales proceeds. So that's pretty much it in a nutshell.
Okay. All right. Very good. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break and return with Brandon. Thank you for listening.
Interested in growing your business? Thinking Bigger Business Media has the resources you need to grow your company to the next level, whether it's an aspiring business, a startup, established, or mature. Thinking Bigger provides the how-to strategies, critical connections, and key information to make your business more productive and more profitable. Check them out at ithinkbigger.com and find out what successful Kansas City business owners already know. Thinking Bigger Business Media is the resource for growing businesses. Visit them today at ithinkbigger.com.
Every real estate professional knows that the key to any industry is having a network of skilled professionals who can help you do your job effectively. The American Association of Private Lenders, or AAPL, is that network for you. AAPL believes that with better resources, you get better results. And a network of private lenders, brokers, attorneys, accountants, loan servicers, plus others who have the ability to not only put together more deals, but better deals. AAPL members are the trendsetters in private real estate lending. The next time you are searching for a knowledgeable, ethical lender, visit www.aaplonline.com and search our free member directory.
Welcome back. I'm Tom Rubin. You've been listening to Think Realty, a chance to talk with experts about transforming cities, neighborhoods, and their own lives through real estate investment. I've been talking with Brandon Thompson of the Investor Network. Brandon, thank you for joining us today.
Let's
slightly elaborate on the partner program. You've mentioned two sides of the fence. You have the holders and the flippers. You know, I guess I know the market changes, and sometimes one's a little better than the other one's a little better, and I know it depends on the property. But if you had to encourage an investor, especially let's assume a new investor with your particular company, where would you recommend that they go into?
Well, right now, honestly, at this point, we are actually pushing our buy and hold program. We're really concentrating on the Memphis program, which essentially is the same thing in Atlanta as well for buy and hold. In Memphis, we're only buy and hold. In Atlanta, we're buy and hold and flip. But right now, we're trying to get into some long-term investments with investors, because right now we're actually seeing a curve where the markets are lagging a little bit, and we want to push people into longer term portfolio a little bit quicker, I guess you could say, so that it ensures us to have some appreciation, because I've studied this out. Every 20 to 25 years, you get the big recession, and you can cycle that all the way back to the Great Depression, and, you know, give or take a year or two plus or minus. But then every 7 to 10 years, you have a small bubble. Well, if 2007 and 2008 was the recession, we're coming up on that bubble. So we've had a great time in the market, you know, where you can flip a property quickly and efficiently and make great, extra, strong, aggressive returns. But the flip program is, the buy and hold program is actually designed to maximize ROI, first of all, give strong cap rates to the investor and to cash flow investor network well. And then on top of that, we're trying to find undervalued properties that in the next 3 to 5 years, based on our projections, once that bubble, that small little bubble burst, we can actually cycle it. And let's just say in Memphis, a property went for 50 might be worth 55 now. So we're at full capacity, honestly, 55 to 60. But in 3 to 5 years, it'll be worth 75 to 80. And what we're studying based on local markets and projections and our team in-house over there and in Atlanta, we're trying to exercise that very wisely and precisely so that we can cap off those bubbles and have some great returns in the next few years. So it's great for an investor to maximize appreciation as well as get a great cap rate for the time being while they're waiting.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. I know market conditions dictate that to a certain degree, you know, in both Atlanta and in Memphis.
Absolutely.
Okay, and I'm not sure whether, and this is just, is Georgia and or Tennessee, are they deed of trust states?
Georgia is a deed state. Tennessee is something of a weird animal. It is I believe it is a trust state. My legal team handles all those parameters for us, and we got a great attorney, McCalla Raymer, here in Georgia that oversees everything, and they are amazing people, and they go ahead and follow our paperwork accurately and make sure that everything is done correctly, and I just give everything to them. So the deeds and the security deeds and the deed of trust are recorded properly, and everything is flowing well for us. But yes, Georgia is a security deed state, and Tennessee is a deed of trust state.
Yeah, and that kind of leads into, I usually ask our guests, because it does have a bearing on everything we're doing, and that is legal issues in the real estate investment. So I generally ask the question in terms of changes you see in the legal environment, areas that, you know, within either the state government or the federal government that could have a direct effect on us. Obviously, rising interest rates, if they ever get around to raising the interest rates at a certain degree, does have a certain amount of effect on our business. But do you see anything that you're kind of monitoring and or areas that you'd like to talk about that fall under the legal issue side of our business?
Well, just like you said, everything is always changing. I literally just take my mind out of it, honestly. You know, you had all the lead-based paint stuff, and that was changing a few years ago. Mm-hmm. You've had HUD regulations that's continuously changing. 1 year they'll take out the 90-day rule. The next year they throw it back in. And then they keep back and forth. I mean, I try not to concentrate too much on it. I literally live in today's time and not worry about tomorrow, be quite honest with you. And that's the reason, that's really what we go in and do in business. I'm not to get too religious, but I mean, that's what the Bible says, to go into something like that, to worry about the day and don't worry about tomorrow. So I try to live my life that way, and Will does too, and Investor Network. We know that we got to keep everybody protected that invests with us, and we do have our legal team that sits and studies these parameters out, and if there's something that's big changing, you know, they will tell us, and then we maneuver at that point. If there's something coming that we're really worried about, we will study it out. But the little things that, you know, keep changing here and there, there's nothing I can do on the independent level. We just try to do the best that we can while we're getting our hands dirty, and just go to town. And that's the best way we've, you know, that's how we've always done business. That's how we'll continue to do business. From a national level, politics, I mean, that's another story. I know that's not what we're talking about, but here with legalities with real estate, that's kind of how we maneuver and move and shake.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense, because I know in Think Realty here, we get involved with a legal defense fund and so on because of just trying, but mostly on the local level, trying to review rules and regulations that happen that may affect real estate investors. Primarily taxation laws that don't necessarily, you know, they've never been voted on. They're just something that the municipality decides that they want to actually tack on. Whether it's a form of fees that they want to throw in for doing some type of rentals, to transfer fees or stuff like that. So, anyways, now you're in Memphis and you're in Atlanta. So let's take a little bit of the crystal ball. And I know you like to live in the moment, but let's step a little bit further. What market changes do you see in, I will use the word near future, probably in, say, the next year or 2 years? And you can isolate on Atlanta and Memphis because you obviously do your homework there.
Right. So Atlanta, I think, is going to continuously be a flip market. There are some undervalued properties, which for our buy and hold program here, residential is too expensive right now. So we focus on multifamily and distressed commercial. So we purchase that and acquire that for our buy and hold program. For the flip program, man, it's amazing. Atlanta is just booming. It's called the second Hollywood of the, I guess, for the South now. So we're the second Hollywood out here, and it's just moving and shaking. People are moving in, and the local market here is just amazing. So I see this going to stay strong for the next few years. Now, based on my studies, it could descend a little bit with values and a small housing bubble, and then we shift into a buy and hold market in the next few years for residential. But I think that's not anything really to worry about right now. Even for my investors listening, we're in such a strong market for the next 2 to 5 years. I think we're going to be fine. And I know you said a year, but that's going to be fine here in Atlanta. Now in Memphis, I think in the next few years, since that bubble hasn't hit yet over there, we're like in a reverse bubble. I think we're accumulating as much properties as we can and giving our investors great cap rates and building up that equity and appreciation in each property. And then in the next few years, I think with what I know about out there, it's also an emerging and growing market too. I think we're going to go into an appreciation boom, and then it'll be time to sell. Atlanta really got hot about two and a half years ago, and we shifted from a buy and hold state in our company in Atlanta and went into a flips, program, I guess, more fully concentrated on that. And then Memphis, I think it's going to be reversed. We've been concentrating on buy and hold, and it's going to shift into a flip. So we got to get the best of both markets. We get, it's like we got a continuous business that's always cycling, and we know how to watch it and correspond efficiently. And that's what we pride ourselves in, is just being local experts. We know what we're doing. We get our hands dirty, and we make our investors a lot of cash, and they're happy, and it's just great communication. And these local markets, like I said, going back to one of the previous questions, these are some of the best markets you can be in right now. So hope that makes sense.
All right, let's change subjects a little bit. Without revealing secret sauce, because everybody has a little bit of a secret sauce, how do you find properties?
Oh, man, I got a guy in the mafia that I pay, and he breaks people's legs to sell us distressed properties, honestly. No, just all jokes aside, it's no science. I mean, we actually go in and do what a lot of the big companies do. We buy at courthouse steps. We have bird dogs that are not licensed agents that are always hunting properties, wholesalers and whatnot, and that'll call us up and say, hey, would you be interested in this, letting me assign this to you, and we'll study that out. We've got a dozen agents that work for us that are always trying to find properties. I am, by trade, a skilled real estate agent, so sometimes when I have a free moment, which is very rare, maybe once a month, I will go in and, call all my connections that I've had over the last few years, which is banking and finance connections, call the asset managers directly. We've got attorneys that we deal with. We go in, we ask them, hey, what kind of foreclosures are you have Liz Pendens right now? And we'll just go ahead and just exercise every effort possible. And then sometimes Will is out there on the road. He's driving by and he'll see a property that's a for sale by owner. He'll call on that. We've gotten great deals that way. So there's no science, no rhyme or reason how we get them. We just get our hands dirty, do a lot of guerrilla marketing, and we get them. And there's always inventory. Now, a lot of people that are doing what we're doing here in Atlanta are actually going out of business because we have a short inventory. They're not willing to put in the work. They're not willing to put in the work. We have to literally, I guess I keep saying the same thing. We're getting our hands dirty and we're working it. And once you put in the work, you'll reap a reward and a benefit. And that's what it takes for any business in America. You have to put in the work. You can't hope to get rich overnight, and you have to put in the work. And that's what we do to find property. We put in the work.
Okay. So more a bit of a generic question. What do real estate investors, or specifically our listeners, need to know about the Investor Network?
We welcome you. We are actually, by design, starting an education company towards the end of the year. We're going to start offering free education. Will is great at this. He's doing power tips. He's a little more, he's a little bit better in front of the camera than I am. I'm awkward. He's great at it. So he's giving power tips and doing quick studies on real estate in 2 to 3 minute videos, tutorials, I guess you can say. So we're issuing those out through social media right now. In the next few coming months, him and I are actually putting together, I guess, kind of like a DIY course online, and we're going to be launching it. And it's going to be an awesome program on, buying holds, flipping property, how to wholesale, teaching people, you know, the ordinary American how to do real estate, something that I wish I knew back in the day when I started. You know, we could teach you in a, you know, probably a 12-module course. So that's coming in the next few months, and we can always do a follow-up and tell you guys about that more later. I don't want to give too much, you know, put too much out there, but we're also thinking about, you know, publicating some books and different things like that as well. But that's coming in the near future. People can follow us on social media, call our office number, and different things like that to find out more. But we actually want to teach people everything that they need to know in real estate, and we also want to be the whistleblower too. A lot of people in the guru business, the motivational speaking and selling real estate seminars, they're out there taking these tactics, getting you these seminars, and they are actually using skilled techniques to induce you to buy a $3,000 or $4,000 or $5,000, $10,000 program, and then they get you into one seminar and you got to go into the next, and then there's a $25,000 program. We're going to do all this for little to nothing. It's going to be free, upwards to a few $100 on each product. So, and we're going to give you the same nuts and bolts, if not more, that we've taught people. I mean that we've done ourselves over the years, so that we can teach people and train them effectively how to grow a business, and or if you want to remain a mom and pop, we can teach them how to do that too, and just go about this the right way. So that's something that a lot of people don't know about Investor Network right now, and that we're actually building from the ground up, because at the end of the day, we want to give somebody a hand up and not a handout. So we're trying to give people the right education so that they can apply and do this on their own.
So last question before we get into our next break. Differentiators. Sure. If you had to go and do an elevator speech to somebody and say, use us, don't use them, you know, obviously you never want to trash the competition too much, but the point is, what would your major differentiators be than what the other fix and flips / passive investor type companies out there?
We're experienced. We know what we're doing. Where else can you get a 20 to 40% annual return on your investment and make it hands-off and easy and not have to worry about sleeping good at night, resting your head on a pillow? You're safe and secure with collateral agreements, and you're going to let the experts do it for you. Show me another company that's doing it efficiently and effectively, and I want to study them, because I might put some of my own money out there. But I don't know where it is, so this is why you should use the Investor Network, because we are training professionals.
We're going to take another short break here at Think Realty. We'll be right back with Brandon Thompson of Investor Network.
What's the difference? Really. As a residential real estate investor, you should know the difference in real estate insurance. Here's the difference. Real estate investors require a unique insurance solution, and National Real Estate Insurance Group is the leader in real estate risk management solutions. Our insurance program is offered as an exclusive member benefit of PRIMA, the Professional Real Estate Investors and Managers Alliance. We serve real estate investors, REO companies, lenders, landlords, property managers, and rehabbers. Advantages that differentiate National Real Estate Insurance Group include coverage and benefits specifically designed for your business, coverage for property that is vacant, rented, or being renovated, and monthly billing of your inventory. See how National Real Estate Insurance Group can make a difference for you. Go to NREinsurance.com, that's NREinsurance.com, or call 888-741-8454, 888-741-8454.
Every real estate professional knows that the key to any industry is having a network of skilled professionals who can help you do your job effectively. The American Association of Private Lenders, or AAPL, is that network for you. AAPL believes that with better resources, you get better results, and a network of private lenders, brokers, attorneys, accountants, loan servicers, plus others who have the ability to not only put together more deals, but better deals. AAPL members are the trendsetters in private real estate lending. The next time you are searching for a knowledgeable, ethical lender, visit www.aaplonline.com and search our free member directory.
Welcome back. Rubley, and you've been listening to Think Realty Investor, a chance to talk with experts about transforming cities, neighborhoods, and their own lives through real estate investment. We've been talking to Brandon Thompson of the Investor Network, and let's continue where we left off. All right. Let's do another generic question. Anything you want to pass along to our listeners about real estate investing and the real estate investing process?
Sure. So you watch these Flip These House programs, you see Flip or Flop, you see the Property Brothers, and they make it look easy. Now, when you go in and do your own transaction, I do want to say that you should not be emotional. A lot of these people on these TV shows are emotional, but you got to think, too, that that's not real life. They're getting paid to do a TV show. Will and I had actually been we were entertaining a TV company about a year ago that possibly wanted to do a TV show on us, and they were saying certain things to us, and we had to realize that we didn't want to fake it out there to people. So it's kind of like certain TV shows. You see these TV shows, and these people are getting all intensive into it, and then you get the person actually going out there, and when they finally do it for real and they go back and reflect back on these TV shows, oh, we got to put in the granite on a $100,000 house on the East Coast here in Atlanta, which may be a $400,000 house on the West Coast in California. They'll go in and do all these upgrades, and they're designing their own home specifically for them personally, and then they realize that, oh my gosh, I've shot my budget, I've blown it. Well, we over here at Investor Network, we don't get emotional. We go through a cookie cutter science. Everything is methodical. And regardless of whether I will live there or not, I'm going to do a great job, and I'm going to do it cost efficient and not go over budget. And that's the thing. You got to do the work, but not be emotional. So that's what I would recommend.
Well, TV shows have a tendency to want to reflect drama.
Absolutely.
As a real estate investor, drama is the last thing I want to do. That's called stress. And one of the things you want to have, it's always good to have a little stress, but not too much stress, and go from there.
Right.
Now, obviously, you do holds. Do you manage the properties for your clients? Do you have an outside property management company that you use? And how many properties do you, and you don't have to be an exact number, do you manage for clients?
Mm-hmm. Well, right now, we actually flip over 150 homes a year. We've got about 100 properties on long-term buy and holds. And, yeah, I mean, we do that pretty effectively, managing these people's, I mean, these clients of ours' funds. And we're moving and shaking with this. And at the end of the day, basically we manage our own properties in-house in Atlanta, and then we have boots on the ground in Memphis that are doing it for us as well. So everything's in house. We got the right people in place, right structure. We're not outsourcing to third party companies. We did that earlier on in our business, and we realized at some point that people were not going to do it as well as we're going to do it. So we brought in the staff, even when we didn't want to, because it was going to cost us a little more overhead, but we're really, really glad that we did it in the long run, because at the end of the day, people that work for us, my staff and Will's staff, everybody that works for us in-house, they are actually doing a much better job than anybody we've ever hired that didn't have a cause to help us necessarily. So they're always looking out for their own best interest, and, you know, we didn't like that. And, you know, they would expose all their clients out there, take care of other people versus us. And at some point, we decided we need somebody in-house to oversee our properties, and that was key for us to grow leaps and bounds. That has actually caused us, putting the right people in place and the right systems in place, has caused us to have about a 25 to 30% increase year in and year out in business and in revenue. And it's allowed us to do some amazing things as well, new types of properties and things like that. But essentially, yes, we manage our own properties.
Okay. Good. Expansion plans. You start talking a little bit about it. I know the DYI courses and stuff like that you're looking at getting into. But beyond that, also, are you looking to expand in other markets?
right now, everything's always negotiable, as they say in real estate. If we saw a reason to expand into other markets, we may do it. If there's an Uber, if there's an Uber excellent market that's close by where we can concentrate on it aggressively and done right, we would go ahead and go into that. But right now, our expansion is our education, and we have had talks of possibly franchising our company out there into other markets across the United States using our systems. I'm not sure if that's something we want to do, but it is something that we've kind of bounced around at. The only thing that really worries us is if we put our name out there and somebody that doesn't have our heart, let's just say in Denver, Colorado, and they're doing our systems and practice and our real estate with our name, it makes it where maybe we don't know if we'd want to sleep at night. So we're studying that out. But the short term is education. We are going to focus on teaching and training and, you know, workshops and seminars and things like that as well. And more of a thank you and hey, we want to help you out now. So that's our expansion in the near future.
Okay, good. The, I know you've done Think Realty, our seminars that we have out there and our different, day-long events that we have. The last one we just had in Long Beach, and we have other ones coming up shortly. But mm-hmm. Any other workshops or seminars that you're going to be at coming up or that you'd like to talk about, and or I don't know if you at this time have workshops and seminars that you have on your website.
Yeah, so right now we had stopped traveling around the state to do workshops and seminars since we're beefing up our own things soon, I guess you can say. We're actually going to be hosting some live events towards the end of the year, and the best way to find out about that is just to keep in contact with us. But we've just purchased a building in downtown Douglasville, which is a suburb of Atlanta, about 15 minutes west of Atlanta. Great area for a conference center to do day events and things like that. So we're going to really get in there in the nitty-gritty and just, like I said, just teach and train these people. And that's pretty much it. But it's all confined to the local market here if we're going to have to be live, because we are concentrating on the recording of webinars and the different modules for courses to be able to publicize to the public here in the near future. And we're hoping and praying that it will all come available by the end of the year, if not sooner. So that's the reason why we're not traveling right now. So that answers your question. We're confined to our local market for the time being.
For the time being, yeah. I know you're on the cover of Think Realty magazine, and I read your articles, obviously, and they're very interesting. I do recommend anybody to go to the Think Realty site, which is at thinkrealty.com, and obviously you can see your pleasant faces on there, both you and Will, and read some of the information that you wrote up. It's a very fascinating articles. Anyways, okay, where do you recommend our listenership find resources to learn about your investor network? Why don't you go ahead and give us websites or and phone numbers and that type of stuff?
Yes, sir. So thank you, Tom. We are going I guess our website is investornetworkstore.com, investornetworkstore.com, and then we also have our Facebook profile, Investor Network. Will, like I said, he does a lot of the power tips there. We're doing before and after photos. We put up flyers for wholesale properties. Anything and everything is going through there. Any kind of announcements. We also have a Twitter profile that is Investor Network without the O between whatever it is in the investor word. And then we also have Pinterest for before and afters. We've got all the social medias out there, essentially, Instagram. So you'll be able to see everything and anything and everything about Investor Network, as well as information on our courses that are coming up and all of that through our social media. So Pinterest, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and so on and so forth. We also have a YouTube channel where we're migrating a lot of our videos in, and as well as Vimeo, too. So we're everywhere.
Well, do you have you want an email address so anybody can contact you directly?
Sure. It's Brandon, B-R-A-N-D-O-N, at investornetworkstore.com. www.realestatereporting.com.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I want to do a quick plug in that the next Think Realty Expo is going to be at National Harbor at the Gaylord National Resort and Convention Center at National Harbor, Maryland. And then following that is our national and international convention in San Francisco. Again, anybody who wants to hear about that, please go to thinkreality.com and you can get all the information to sign up to attend. Well, I want to thank you, Brandon, for being on our show. It's very interesting. Again, I'm sure we'll run across each other at a variety of different places. And sounds like your business model is doing very, very well. So I'm Tom Rubidoux, and you've been listening to Think Realty, our chance to talk with experts about transforming cities, neighborhoods, and their own lives through real estate investments. Please join us next week with your host, Chrissy. Have a great week.
You've been listening to the Think Realty Podcast, our weekly opportunity to talk with professionals from the real estate investment industry. For more information on Think Realty, including tools and connections you need to be successful in real estate, go to thinkrealty.com.